visiting several churches while here in the States, and was at the conference in Kingsport, also at the conference in Danville. And we have one more speaking engagement at Carroll Pools in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Then we fly back. But we've enjoyed it very much. Enjoyed visiting the churches, and so glad to be with you here this morning. And the work the Lord has called us to in Mexico, the Lord is blessing His word, calling out His people. And Doug and Judy have been there about 4 years ago, is that right? We enjoyed having them. And we're so thankful for the privilege to be put in the ministry and to go preach the gospel. I want us to look this morning at the book of 1 Corinthians. If you will, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians. And the verse I want to get to is verse 30. It's a very well-known verse. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we could come before You this morning by Your Son in His work, by His blood, Lord. We know that no man can come before You except through Your Son and His finished work. We're so thankful for His righteousness, the righteousness of God, by which we're able to be in Your presence. We're thankful for the precious blood that was shed to take away the sins of Your people. Lord, we're thankful for this time that You've given us to come before You, worship You, Lord. Pray that You would be with everyone here this morning, Lord, that You would bless Your word to each and every one of us, Lord. We thank You for Your purpose, Your will that is being accomplished and all throughout the world. Your word will not return unto You void, but will accomplish that for which You have sent it. Lord, we pray for those that are sick and those that are in trials and troubles. Lord, we pray that Your hand of mercy be upon them. Heal those that are sick according to Thy will. And Lord, we pray for not only in this place, but all over the world. We pray for Your kingdom, Lord. We say, we ask, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so also on earth and in our lives. Thank You for this time, Lord. These things we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul is dealing with, here in the letter of Corinth, he had gone and preached the gospel there, and the Lord had raised up a church. And now this is the first letter he writes to the church of Corinth. And he's dealing with this issue that's in the church, because every son and daughter of the Lord, every son and daughter of God is born of the Spirit. We have a new nature, a nature that is, we're created in Christ Jesus, that holy nature. But also we are in the flesh, and we must always recognize this flesh that is in us. And this flesh is manifested in envies and strifes and divisions. And in the church here in Corinth, the Apostle Paul is writing and saying, I hear of those of the house of Chloe that there are, it says there in verse 10, that there are divisions among you. There are divisions among you. It had been declared unto me, verse 11, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I of Christ. The Apostle Paul is saying, Christ is not divided. everywhere throughout the world where the gospel is preached and the Holy Spirit gives life to his people, we're all saved by the same faith, the same gospel. There's one gospel. There's one baptism, one Lord over all. And Christ is not divided. In this world, we're divided by geographical distance. We're divided by language. But we're not divided in this holy faith. We all, those who preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one message. And there ought not be divisions. But these divisions arise when people act like children at best, carnal at worst. That is, being influenced by the carnal man. It has been declared unto me that this is what's among you. And the Apostle Paul, I'm paraphrasing here so I could get to verse 30. The Apostle Paul is saying, when I came to preach to you, I didn't preach in my own name. I didn't come seeking followers after myself. I didn't baptize in my own name. False men, false preachers do exactly that. They look for followers after themselves. The Apostle Paul said, I didn't baptize anybody in my name. I baptized a few, and he names a few. And he said, oh, by the way, I also baptized the house of Stephanus. Besides, if there's any other, I don't know that I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Christ sent me to preach the gospel of the cross, the gospel of God, as it says in Romans chapter 1. And he says here in verse 18, what we ought to be listening for, what we ought to be listening for is the message of the cross, or the word of the cross, or what is God saying in the message of the cross? This is the message. Number one, that God is holy, that God is just, that God is merciful. How God is holy. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ died. Because God is holy, man cannot come into the presence of God apart from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is sinful. Man by nature disobeyed God, and practice and choice is a rebel against God. And God must put away the sins of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do that very thing, to put away the sin of his people. And when he was made sin, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who did no sin, when he was made sin for us, God the Father turned his back on God the Son. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We read there in Psalm 22, the answer to that question is, thou art holy. Thou art holy. God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Well, we see the holiness of God. We see the justice of God. Men, by nature, they think, well, God is not going to punish sin. God is not going to punish sin. I heard that just the other day. God is a God of love, and God is not going to punish sin. In other words, there is no hell. This is what men think by nature. But if anyone should doubt that God will punish sin, all they have to do is look to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. We see the justice of God. God will punish sin wherever it is found. Bless God, the sin of his people was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made sin. And his people, this is the declaration of the gospel, his people do not have sin anymore. Their sin has been taken away. We see the love of God. What could cause God to send his Son but the love of God. And the love of God is found in his Son. God loves the Son. Apart from the Son, anybody that's outside of the Son, God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. Well, we see these things in the message of the cross. God is merciful. God has found the way whereby he may be just and justify the sinner who believes and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is this very gospel that the Lord used to save us, to convert us. Man is totally inactive when he is born of the Spirit of God. Man does not make a decision to be born of God. Man is sitting there listening. Man or woman is sitting there listening to the gospel. At one time hating the gospel. And then God does this work, a miracle, and gives life to his people. The evidence of that life is love. Love towards the gospel. Love to God and love towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Love, faith, hope, these things that are the fruits of the Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, faith. So that a man is born of God, and because he's born of God, he believes God. He believes God. So it's the power of God. Just like in our natural birth, we had nothing to do with the fact that we're sitting here today. We did not choose if we would be born. We did not choose when we would be born or by what parents would be born. But here we are. It's of God. And the same is true in the holy, in the spiritual. God gives life to whomsoever he will by the preaching of the gospel. It's foolishness to them that perish. But those that are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's saying that man cannot stumble upon the knowledge of God. Man cannot stumble upon the knowledge of God. Man cannot, by searching, find out God. Man, by nature, want to find the origin of the universe. Sending out all these rockets and satellites out into the space to try to find out where the origin of the universe is. It's right here, in the beginning, God. Man cannot find out and have an interest, a saving interest in Christ Jesus simply by reading the Bible. I'm not saying anything about reading the Bible against it. We ought to read the Bible. But God is the one that man cannot say, well, you know, I just came to the conclusion. No, you didn't come to the conclusion. If anybody is saved, God revealed it to him. And he revealed it to him by the preaching of the gospel. The preaching. Men like to think that they're somebody and they could somehow or another understand the things of God. But man by nature cannot. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For we see your call, you see your calling, brethren, not how many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are not are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. This is God's determined, revealed will, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, what was the issue that he was dealing with? I hear of the house of Chloe that there are divisions among you. Some are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and others saying, I'm of Christ. Now look at the weight of the word that follows in verse 30. But of him. But of him. People are saying, I believe because I heard the Apostle Paul. No. You didn't believe because you heard the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was an instrument. But you didn't believe because you heard it from the Apostle Paul, or you heard it from Apollos, or you heard it from Cephas. But of him. So that men don't get the glory, but he gets the glory. But of him. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, listen here. It says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. In other words, you did not believe because you heard it of the Apostle Paul. He's already established that it's by the preaching of the gospel. So we hear the preaching of the gospel through a man. But it's not the man that receives the glory, but of him. I want to illustrate this. North Carolina is a state with wonderful woodland. Is that the right way? Carpentry. They make furniture here in North Carolina, don't they? And beautiful furniture. And I want to use the illustration of this pulpit here. This pulpit, it's a beautiful pulpit. And you have over here at this other table, perhaps you have a hammer and some saw, a planer, a sander. Imagine if the pulpit could talk. And the pulpit, this part of the pulpit said, I am of the planer. And this part of the pulpit said, no, I'm of the saw. And this pulpit, this part said, well, I'm of the hammer. What would that sound silly, doesn't it? That would sound silly. What would you say to the pulpit? You'd say, no, it's but the carpenter. The carpenter chose you. Out of a stack of wood, the carpenter planed you, formed you, the carpenter put you in the pulpit where he wanted you to be. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. It's of God who put you in Christ Jesus. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of him are you in him from eternity. God chose you. God chose you to salvation. That's why you believe. We don't grow because we hear a certain man. We hear because God chose us to salvation. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, Christ Jesus, has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. God made you, God put you in Christ Jesus and made Christ Jesus to be wisdom to you. Wisdom to you. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Man, by nature, does not understand and does not receive the things that are of God. But Christ being given to a person, see how mysterious and miraculous this is. God put his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And Christ is their wisdom. Christ is their wisdom. Now, by nature, we're dead in trespasses and sins. But when the gospel is being preached, and the gospel is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the gospel is being preached, the Holy Spirit gives life to a person and responds to the message he's hearing. It's the wisdom. We respond to the message that we hear. You've heard the word, that resonates with me. Have you heard that? That resonates with me. Well, if you have a tuning fork in the key of G, for instance, you have a tuning fork over here and you have another tuning fork over here and you strike the one tuning fork against your knee, it starts vibrating. When it starts vibrating, this other tuning fork that's also in the key of G will vibrate also. You didn't touch it, but it's vibrating. It responds. That's called resonance. It's resonant. It responds to that frequency. Now, the Holy Spirit in a believer is the one who gives witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. We believe because we are born of God. And Christ has made unto us wisdom. Wisdom to know who the true God is. There are many false gods in the world. The thoughts of man's imaginations. He thinks God is like himself. You thought that I was altogether like one of yourself. Man's mind is by nature a God manufacturer. Everybody says, you know, the most honest thing a person could say. Now, there is no honest man. But the most honest thing a person could say is, I know there's a God. Well, he's not being stupid. The fool says in his heart, no God. But if a man says, I know there's a God, and I don't know who he is. Well, that man's walking in light. That man's being honest. Because man cannot be found out by looking at the stars. You could go out and look at the stars and you can see the power of God. You could look at your own body and see how fearfully and wonderfully you're made. And know there's a God. At least you're not denying your own conscience, your own rational intelligence. I know there's a God, but I don't know who he is. That's man being honest. But you know what man says? I think there's a God. I know there's a God. They call him perhaps a supreme being, and they say, and I think he's already gone after his own way. I know there's a God, and I think, and once you say I think, he's gone after his own path, his own way. The only way we know God is what he's revealed about himself. We don't know anything of God apart from the revelation of God in his word. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only begotten of the Father who dwells in the bosom of the Father. He has declared it. He tells him out. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know the invisible God. We will not see another God in glory but the Lord Jesus Christ. Him alone. And he is the wisdom. He has made unto us wisdom to know who is the true and living God. To know God, to know how we may approach unto God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father. No man has come to the presence of God except through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom to know how we may approach unto God. Wisdom to know ourselves and know our need of him. Christ has made unto us wisdom. It's not the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. But Christ has made unto us wisdom. And wisdom, listen, to know that Jesus Christ is all our righteousness. We're going to go through these points. Wisdom to know that there is no righteousness apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Man by nature is going about to establish his own righteousness. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10. Men go about to try to establish their own right doings. They feel like if I do this and I do the other, God will accept me. That's works religion. Man, from the very beginning, when Adam fell in the garden, he lost the life of God, the way of God, the truth of God. And the very first thing he did was try to cover himself with fig leaves. And that's what religion does in this world. Cover a person with fig leaves. That's going about to try to establish his own righteousness, his own justice before God. Christ in us is wisdom to know that there is no righteousness apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom to not look into ourselves. This, we are, the Apostle Paul says, the circumcision. Who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in what we can do, have done, are doing, or will do. Our confidence is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he lived in this world, he established righteousness as a man in this world. He obeyed God's holy law in every jot and tittle. God the Father said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God has made unto us, Christ Jesus has made unto us wisdom to know that there is no right. I will speak of thy righteousness and thine alone. Thine alone. His righteousness. In him I have righteousness. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. God made Christ Jesus wisdom to know that in him we have righteousness. We are made righteous. This is what the Holy Spirit convinces us of. It convinces us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's fulfilled all righteousness. Notice the second thing. Of wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. God has made Christ unto us to be wisdom, to know that in him I am sanctified. In Christ Jesus, I am made holy. Not only has he established a perfect righteousness as a man here on earth, that he is my righteousness, but in him I have holiness. I am holy. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, sanctification, that word sanctification means set apart, made holy, made saint. And God the Father separated us in election before the foundation of the world. And God the Son, when he came into the world, he made us holy. When he died on the cross, there is no further, no, there's no, nothing else that we do to add to that sanctification. Anytime you hear of someone talk about progressive sanctification, you're hearing works religion. You're hearing works religion. People that talk about what we do somehow or another facilitates us to come before God. In Christ, we are holy. And that is not a gospel. That is not a gospel. If your salvation depends on anything you do, if it is just the very last step that you have to take, then there's no hope. There's no hope. In Christ, I am holy. Christ has made in us wisdom to know that in Christ, I am complete. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, don't let anybody try to, I'm going to have to read it because I can't quote it in English. But in Colossians chapter 2, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ." Don't let anybody deceive you. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him." The person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is ready right now. This thief that died on the cross, that the Lord said unto him, "That today thou shalt be with me in paradise," is no less holy and saint than the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul. In Christ. In Christ. All right. The last thing here says sanctification and redemption. Christ has made in us wisdom to know that in him we have redemption. Redemption, not only from our souls redeemed. He redeemed us. He paid the price. And not the price of blood of bulls and goats. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sin. That's why they were offered continually as a reminder. This is not enough. But they pictured the one who by one sacrifice made perfect forever them that are elect, the sanctified, says in Hebrews chapter 10. He says here, redemption. To know, a believer knows, the person who God has made unto him wisdom, we know that in Christ we are just, we're holy, justification, sanctification, and we are redeemed. We know that this world is not our home. We have a hope that is not in this world. Redemption. We wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day he's coming again. He's coming again, and all those that slept in him will be raised with a body just like his. A body incorruptible, with no sin, to dwell with him forever. Now Christ has made unto us that wisdom. Notice again it says in verse 30, but of him. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. It is foolish to glory in men. They're instruments. Why would this table glory in the hammer or the saw? It's instruments in the hands of the carpenter to fashion it and put it in the furniture where he wanted. So the ministers of the gospel, the Apostle Paul says, we're just instruments. We're just ministers. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus. And it's of him that we are in Christ Jesus. And Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May the Lord bless this word.